This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And today is a very, very special day because we have a very special guest. I am so excited about this because we are talking about San Francisco, and I lived there, and I loved it, and I wanted so much to do this book, but Rita Moreau, as everybody knows, she almost kicked me out of the studio because our guest is Sheldon Siegel, and Rita is here.
Yes, and I'm excited.
Hi, Sheldon.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, well, we're happy today. Boy, you know, so often we get together for coffee, and Rita's always talking about your books. So
I love Sheldon's books.
Yeah, so we were so excited to get book 15. Oh, my goodness. What did you think about it, Rita?
What I absolutely love about it is the characters. The characters that I've grown to know, like they're my neighbors. So I absolutely enjoyed the book, and Deal Coin is dead.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, is the company dead, because the name of this book is Dead Coin. And Sheldon, it's a great book.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know, it means a lot hearing that from you, Rita, because you're such a talented author yourself.
Thank you.
Well, we love you. You know, we get such a kick out of your books, and exactly what Rita said, that for us, it's like seeing family. I mean, we know Rosie.
And we know, yeah, now, we know Mike.
I always say Rosie and Mike. It's a Rosie and Mike book. Some people, you know, go around saying Mike and Rosie, but for me, right from the very beginning, it just popped in my head. I automatically thought of Rosie because I love her.
And I absolutely love Sylvia. Oh. She is quite a character.
Well, you see how we can just talk about...
We know them. We know the family.
Well, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, that everybody will want to check in on the whole family, you know, every year or so. And they're real to me. You know, people write to me and ask me, how's Sylvia doing, and how's Sadie's dog, and, you know, are Mike and Rosie going to get back together? And, you know, that's what you're hoping for, that people will get an emotional attachment to the characters.
Well, you've achieved that. And with Dead Coin, it is also such a timely book. I mean, it comes out, I don't know, this was before all of this big collapse. So tell us about Dead Coin.
Yeah, this got a little weird. The premise of the book is that a crypto billionaire would be murdered at Salesforce Park, which is this upscale area in downtown San Francisco. And Mike and Rosie, who are with the public defender's office, Rosie's the San Francisco public defender, they would represent a homeless guy accused of killing the crypto billionaire. So I got the idea for this book last summer when crypto was flying high and everybody was trying to get in, and people were making millions and billions of dollars. And I thought, well, the premise of the book should be, what could happen if a crypto company lost like $40 billion overnight and everybody who invested in the company was mad at the founder, you know, and he turns up dead. Okay, so I get three quarters of the way through this manuscript, and in November of last year, this company, FTX, a big crypto company, does in fact lose $40 billion of value in a couple of days. And the guy got arrested, and, you know, it was this huge disaster. So it's the first time I've ever written a book where I got, you know, midway through it and real life events overtook my story. Now, I didn't change the story, but I did add a few lines at the end where Sylvia, your favorite character, said to Mike,
yes,
you know, I told you that crypto was a hustle.
As I said, it is so timely. It is a subject most people don't understand anything about crypto anyway. I mean, the concept of people losing crypto money, it's like
monopoly.
What is it? Do you understand? With your research, did you finally figure out what in the heck is going on?
You know, I've tried like a dozen times. When I wrote this book, I really did try to figure out what they were selling. and I still can't figure it out for the life of me. And, you know, I think we're transitioning. It reminded me a lot of the late 90s when we had the big dot-com boom,
you know, yes.
And that imploded. And, it, you know, at least there were some survivors out of that era. And, you know, now we have crypto, and I think there will be some remnants of that that will remain. But the next gold mine looks like, you know, AI, you know, artificial intelligence. And,
now
everybody's, you know, taking whatever money they had left out of crypto and putting it into AI. And there's something there. I don't know what it'll look like. Maybe I'll write a book about it somewhere down the road.
I've tried to figure out crypto. I don't understand. Sometimes they'll show pictures of them like a factory, and it's a crypto thing. And I think, what are they making? There's nothing. It's numbers they're juggling around. I did not really understand about the Salesforce. What do you call it? A park?
Yeah, about 30 years ago when we had the big earthquake. The old bus terminal in downtown San Francisco, right near the ballpark and, you know, near the, not too far from, you know, the Transamerica building and stuff. They decided they needed to replace the old bus terminal. So they built this magnificent four-level, it's a bus terminal in the basement. There's room for trains that they'll eventually extend down there. There's retail. And on the top, they built this beautiful park. It's like four blocks long and one block wide. And it's filled with green areas. It's kind of like the High Line in New York, but bigger and wider and fancier. You know, it's not just for walking. It's a real, you know, it's a real park in the middle of high rises. So it's a beautiful area. Unfortunately, you know, because of COVID, a lot of the buildings are not very populated at the moment. But that'll come back. I say after my last book, where all we, you know, we did a. The scenes were all in the Tenderloin, where it's homelessness and COVID and fentanyl and everything. I wanted to do something more upscale.
Well, it sounds nice. You know, I really didn't know about it. You can see how long it's been since I was in San Francisco. And I actually went and looked at some pictures of it, and it looks very pretty. Anyway, it's sort of a private park, right? Or it's a public park? They don't let homeless people sleep there, do they?
Well, it's open to the public during the day, and it closes, you know, at like 8 o'clock at night. But anybody can go up there, and if you can, you know, if you're homeless, like the guy in the book, I mean, if you could sneak up there before they close and find a spot in the bushes.
Well, see, I wasn't sure you could do that, but obviously, you figured out a way to get this guy in trouble, and to give Mike and Rosie something to work on here.
Yeah, but I mean, if you folks want to come visit San Francisco, it's definitely worth seeing this park. It's magnificent. And, it is now. I mean, when I moved here 40 years ago, it was Skid Row, but that area, it's like a city within a city now. It's very nice.
Oh, well, you know, I as a matter of fact, you know, I told you where I lived, and I used to work for Booz Allen, not far from where this park is.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I love your books is I get to sort of look at places in San Francisco, even if they're not beautiful, but I get to reminiscing about San Francisco.
And if I can say, on Sheldon's website, he has a part of your website, if you're visiting San Francisco and you want to check out these eateries, go to Sheldon's website.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, please. All the restaurants are real. Except for Mike's uncle's saloon that I made up.
That everybody looks for. They look for
that. That everybody looks for.
Yeah.
But everything else is real. And, you know, I try to make San Francisco a character in the stories and take people to places where the natives go, but the tourists often don't. And incidentally, by the way, it is perfectly safe to come visit San Francisco, and everybody should come because it is still the most magical place in the world. We have rough neighborhoods like every other city, but, sure. You know, don't get all your information off Twitter and, you know, and social media.
Google.
San Francisco is it's alive and well and doing great, and you should all come see us.
And to walk in Golden Gate Park and the Japanese garden there, those are all such fond memories.
It is still spectacular, and it's even better now. They just put in a big park at the foot of the Presidio, at the top of the Presidio, overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge. It's called Tunnel Top Park, and it has the best view in town of the Golden Gate, the whole bay. They had redone the streets leading to the Golden Gate Bridge, and you can walk from the Presidio across the top of the tunnels that they put in all the way down to Fort Point and the Golden Gate Bridge, and it's just spectacular.
Tell me, have you ever considered running for office?
Mayor of San Francisco.
Public defender.
I give all the politicians here a lot of credit for taking it on, because like most big cities, San Francisco is impossible to govern. I am not qualified to do that, and I'm not a defense attorney. I'm in real life, I was a corporate lawyer for 40 years, so I'm not qualified to do criminal work. And it's kind of funny, because I get mail from people on death row saying they've read my books at the San Quentin Library, and would I be interested in helping them with their death penalty appeal? I was writing back and telling me that's a really bad idea.
Oh, that's funny.
That's great. We know these characters. And you've developed them through these 15 books. I love how you're able to really weave in the story about, you know, about Mike's background and about everybody's relationship. You do it in such a nice way. It's just part of the story.
Absolutely. And I always find Pete to be a very interesting character also, along with Sylvia. But he's always there, and he's just always got Mike's back, which I think is great. That's what a brother should do.
Yeah. The next book, Pete's going to have a bigger role. And,
oh,
you know, he's the guy you
want.
He's the guy you want standing next to you if you got to find some information. You never ask him how he found it.
No.
Well, for my listeners who might not know the relationship between Mike and Rosie, explain it so people can understand who they are and why they are so interesting to us.
Yes, well, Mike and Rosie met at the public defender's office about 30 years ago. Mike had just come off some time being a priest, which he wasn't very good at and didn't like doing. He had gone into the priesthood after his brother died in Vietnam. And Rosie is a native of San Francisco as well, and she spun out of a bad marriage. And she and Mike met at the public defender's office, immediately hit it off. They quickly got married, had a daughter named Grace, and then almost as quickly got divorced. And they were very good. They've always been very good at working together. They've never been too good at living together, although after about the third book, I decided they would be a permanent unmarried couple. So they have lots of baggage in their past, but they are fundamentally really good people. They're the people you would want at your side if you got into serious trouble. And later in the series, after they practiced law together in private practice for a few years, they go back to the public defender's office, which is kind of where they should have been all along. And a little deeper in the series, Rosie is elected San Francisco's first Latina public defender, and Mike becomes the head of the felony division.
They also have this relationship, friends with benefits, and so they've got two kids.
Yes, one they had when they were married and one they had after they were married. Grace, their daughter, is now in her 20s and working for Pixar. And their son, Tommy, is a sophomore or a junior at UC Berkeley, which is my alma mater and my wife's alma mater. So I don't make anything up. You know, all these characters are based on, you know, real people. My daughter-in-law graduated from USC Film School, although she doesn't work at Pixar. And I must confess, you know, Rosie sounds a lot like my wife, Linda, and like Linda, you know, Rosie's always right. But Linda is not Hispanic from San Francisco. She's Jewish from Santa Rosa. So.
And she's very talented. Very talented. She does quite a bit.
Yes, she is. She worked for George Lucas for many years and worked on a lot of big movies doing computer graphic shots. So she's the brains behind our whole operation. And she nowadays she does all my cover art and all my online marketing and stuff, which.
It's fabulous.
Which is a big job.
Yeah.
I'm just a stenographer. I just type.
And you've introduced a cat, Wilma.
Yes. Well, okay, I got to, you know, true confessions here. Okay, Wilma, we had a cat named Wilma. Very sweet white cat whose heart problem finally caught up with her, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. So Wilma lives on as the stray cat who has now moved into Mike's apartment.
Oh.
And so we look forward to that. And I have another cat who we got at the same time as Wilma named Betty. And Betty's sitting on my desk here.
Betty keeps you company.
Betty keeps me company. Betty just turned 19, so she gets to do anything she wants.
Absolutely.
And then the other pet in the book, Luna, the Keyshawn, the big dog, Nady's dog. Well, in real life, one of my former colleagues was Nady Nikanova, who was not a defense attorney. She's an antitrust attorney, and she had this beautiful dog named Luna. And when Luna died a few years ago, I promised the real-life Nady that we would make Luna a character in my book. So I have two deceased animals.
They live on.
That's right. And everyone in Sylvia's Mahjong group is named after a real person, too. All readers of my books, and all well north of 85 years old now.
Wow. That's
well,
awesome.
Yes. We see that you're having fun. And one of the things Rita likes about your website is that you have advice there. And a lot of my listeners who participated in NaNoWriMo, they ask these questions and they can find that right there on your website, questions that they want answers to.
Oh, it's great. It really is. I would encourage interested writers or prospective writers, definitely take a peek.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you find that helpful. For those aspiring writers out there, you know, it's a really good time to be a writer. You know, there are no barriers to entry anymore. You will get your book published. It's really hard to make money doing that. Because there are so many books being published, but, and if, you know, folks listening in want to chat about it, you feel free to email me at sheldon@sheldonsiegel.com, because I talk to a lot of published and pre-published writers, and there are a lot of opportunities out there.
I love that, the support that you do give writers, and it's wonderful, because the wonderful thing about writing is, in February, I had a guest on, Eugenia Lovett West, and she celebrated her 100th birthday here on Joy on Paper, and she had just written a book about cybercrime. And she did research into cybercrime, much like you did research here for Deadcoin into cryptocurrency. And she's 100.
Isn't that great? She's working on another book?
Yep.
There you go.
She's doing one about a spy in the Revolutionary War. That's the fun thing about being a writer. And Deadcoin, really, as I said, for all my listeners, Sheldon doesn't explain what Deadcoin is. I mean, what cryptocurrency is. But he makes it so exciting to find out who in the world killed this great tycoon. Sort of get this idea of what's going on in this cryptocurrency world.
Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting that you take the reader through the courtroom process also.
Oh, I love that.
I do too.
Nobody writes courtroom better than you. Fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have a lot of fun with that. It has a certain cadence that it goes really fast once you're in the courtroom. You know, I've never handled a criminal case. I've never been in court on real business, but people seem to think I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you do.
And it starts off with a lovely case. I really like that case.
That's a real case.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, explain that case.
So another true confession is I open most of my books with some screwy small-time case. to give the reader a hint that Mike and Rosie are essentially small-time defense attorneys who represent, you know, small-time criminals. So this book opens when a dancer at a strip club goes into court with Mike and wants the judge to allow her to take off her ankle bracelet while she's dancing at the strip club. This really happened. I changed the names, but I didn't change much else.
Oh, my.
And the stripper says to the judge, "I can't bedazzle anyone while I have this thing on my ankle." And the judge looked her right in the eye and said, "Your motion is denied. Go back and bedazzle yourself. Next case."
that was such a great opening.
Oh,
you're right.
It
sets the tone for the story of, you know, what's coming, that we're going to have fun. Right away, I read that first chapter, and I said, oh, well, like always.
You could picture her in the courtroom.
And keeping us waiting, I knew she was going to turn up at the last minute, and then, a stripper with, then it's very visual. You can really imagine her with that ankle bracelet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a visual.
A visual. Not that you did any research to double check that, what it would look like. I'm not that you would do that, but
I did not do any on-site research, because if I did, Linda would kill me. But the club where she works, the Gold Club, is a real place. That's all, and it's right in the middle of, you know, all where the tech guys all work now, and they all go there for the lunch. They have like this award-winning chef who makes this, you know, fantastic chicken buffet lunch. And
wow,
it's not a secret.
I think it's so funny. I thought that was so good. And well, it's, as always with you, all of your books are so good. And this is book 15, and I know you're going strong. Rosie and Mike are in your head, and they're not going to stay there.
They're going to be knocking on your door.
They're always talking to me. I when I was working at the law firm, I tried not to tell people that I was talking to my imaginary friends all day.
Well, Sheldon Siegel, we think you're wonderful. We talk about you. I mean, we'll go out to lunch, and who are we talking about? We're talking about you,
Sheldon.
For goodness sake. My goodness. You're fantastic, and we are so very happy, very proud to have you here as a guest on Joy on Paper. And Rita is going to do a special book buzz for you, and I'll be playing it on the program every once in a while, just to keep reminding people that Dead Coins, the new Mike Daly and Rosie Fernandez legal thriller, is available, and it is fantastic. Again, thank you so much for joining us today, Sheldon.
And thank you, Sheldon, for all your help.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys are terrific.
So bye-bye for now, but you'll be back as soon as the next book is out, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Thanks. Take care now.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, isn't he wonderful?
He is.
He's adorable.
He is.
And Rita's going to say goodbye, because she has to run.
Do a Silver Sneakers class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye now.